Philippians 1. Philippians 2 is what we're going to look at, but it goes together, so we're going to read a couple of verses. As you know, this wasn't written in chapters and verses. Paul said in verse 29 of chapter 1, "Unto you it is given," speaking to the saints, "unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, for His glory, His honor, His name's sake, having the same conflict you saw in me." Paul suffered greatly, didn't he? He said, "I'm willing to," and he said, "I would be honored to die for Him." And he said, "You saw it in me, and you now hear it to be in me. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." Now, we just looked at four words, the conversation of the believer, the conflict, and the consolation. There be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, the prize, the consolation prize, if you will, that believers receive. It's a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As we said, it's no second rate prize, it's first. The high calling of God in Christ, to be with Him someday. What a consolation we have through all this we go through. This is nothing. Paul said, the light affliction, he called it a light affliction compared to the eternal weight of glory that we shall. In fact, our Lord said it's going to be so glorious that the former things won't even come to mind. No matter how much pain, no matter how much suffering, how many tears, no matter how much sorrow, no matter how much sin, won't even think about it. You'll be so overjoyed. You know, our troubles and sorrows right now seem to outweigh our joys. Don't it seem like they override our joy? But not then. There won't be any remembrance of the former thing. That's consolation. And look at Revelation 2. Revelation chapter 2. This is, I'm sorry, 7. Revelation 7. This is the end. Revelation 7, as the radio message. "Oh, that they were wise and would consider their latter end. Teach us to number our day. In a few short years, we're going to go the way. And here's where we'll be." In Revelation 7, look at verse 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number." So why not me? Why not you? You afraid you won't be there? Why? "I'm too sinful." Oh, no. Ask the thief on the cross. Not too sinful. Ask Mary Magdalene. She'll tell you. Ask Rahab. She's right up front. Her and Mary are right up front. No. There's no such thing as being too sinful. He's able to save the uttermost. And they're all sinners. And he said, "I saw a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds, families, people, tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice." Now this is not a voice of woe, this is a voice of victory. "Saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. He said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, They all did, every one of them. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They're before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Oh, happy, happy people. That's our consolation. Look at Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Verse 14. Look at this. This is now the world, false religion, the woman, Babylon, made war with the Lamb. It was at war with the Lamb all their days. All their days on earth. That's what Paul said. This conflict, this warfare. Right? It's real. You know it. You experience it. You shall be hated. Well, they made war with the Lamb, but the Scripture says previous to this, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him. Is this you? Called? You see your calling, brethren? Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. Base things, things that are not. Huh? Nobody's from nowhere. Nothing's and nobody's. Sinners. Is that your calling? You'll be with Him. You're going to be with Him. Chosen. What do you think about election? The elect say, if there's no election, I won't be there. And faithful. Full of faith in the Lamb. Loyal to His cause. True to His cause. There's the consolation. We're going to be with Him. And in our text it says, if any comfort, and I want to emphasize this word, any. Do you find any consolation in Christ? I mean, a little bit. That's better than nothing. And some people don't give Him a thought. Some people aren't the slightest bit interested in God and Christ and eternity and sins forgiven in this gospel. Some people are not interested. You got any? If you got any, it's a gift of God. If you have faith, you say, I have such small faith. Well, is it just the grain of a mustard seed? That's faith. Any? You find any consolation? Any comfort in love? Comfort of love? His love? God's love for His people? Christ's love? Paul said, our Lord said, the world will hate you. Paul said, they hated me. Well, what was his comfort? God loves me. No one loves me. One time Paul said, well, in the next chapter he bemoans. He said, I have no man like-minded. Another place he said, everybody in Asia left me. Well, like David said, my father and my mother may forsake me, but the Lord take me in. Does that give you any comfort? Say, nobody loves me. The only one that matters does. You know that? The only one that matters. The world may hate you. But God, if you're in Christ, God loves you. So here's the comfort. And there's comfort in the brethren, the love of the brethren for us. Look at 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. There's comfort in the love of the brethren for us and our love for them. There's comfort there. By this we know we've passed from death unto life. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. In chapter 4, it says, in this was the love of God toward us manifest, and God sent His only begotten Son into the world. Here's love. Not that we love God, but He loved us, sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sin. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Well, God's people do. Look at verse 1. It says that of chapter 3, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Verse 14, we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do you love these brethren? Look at chapter 5. Can you not say from your heart, these are my brethren, my true brethren, my real family? Can you? You say, but my love's so weak and so faint and so poor. Do you have any? Any? There was a time that these weren't the people I wanted to associate with. Would you? They told me you're going to go spend, that these are going to be your constant companions. Nobody else. Not me. See, I was too cool.
Too proud.
Chapter 5, whosoever believeth Jesus is Christ, the Christ is born of God. Simon Peter said, we believe. No, we're sure.
But thou art Christ.
And everyone that loveth him that begat, that is God, loveth him also that is begotten of God. By this we know. We love the children of God. We love God. This is the love of God. Do you? Any? Any? And if you love, you don't want to leave, do you? You don't want them to leave you. You don't want to leave them. That's love. Any? Do you have any love? All right, look at the next step in our chapter, in our text. Philippians 2:1. If any fellowship of the Spirit, any fellowship of the Spirit, that's the title of this message, the subject, fellowship and feelings. Fellowship, feelings, and mercies. These are three things. Fellowship of the Spirit. Have you got any fellowship? Do you have any fellowship? Now, true fellowship is spiritual between brothers and sisters in Christ. The Word, and I marvel at God's providence in creating the English language, which is the language which the gospel is most spoken in. It's not the leading language on earth. I think it's Hindi is the leading language. More people speak that language, but they don't speak the truth in that language. The truth is spoken, preached, and declared mostly by English-speaking people. Okay? And more people are learning it every day, English. And that's by design. That's God's purpose. And in His purpose in creating the English language, there's so many words that people came up with that were derivatives of this and derivatives of that. But God, see, the lot is cast in the lap. What are we going to call this word? But the whole disposings of the Lord. What are we going to call this that God's people have around the gospel? Fellowship. And that's exactly what it is. It's fellows in the ship. The word fellowship in the dictionary means relationships. We all are the same relation. Related in Christ. It means companionship. There's always a ship. Are you with me? Do you understand that God made the English language like that? That big ball in the sky, what are we going to call that in the English language? We'll call it the sun. Fellowship, companionship, relationship. The dictionary says it's a condition or relation of being fellows. A fellow. And that is what you would call Christ's chosen disciples. They're His fellows. He chose them. And you ladies, you're a feller. It's fellows in the same ship. It's a precious word. It's a term reserved for this precious and blessed thing and relationship we call the church. And worship. That's the scriptural meaning of the word. God's chosen, God's children, God's believers, when they get together. Look at Luke chapter 6. God brought them together and they have this relationship. They have this companionship. David said, I'm a companion of them that fear thee. They had this fellowship. It's called the fellowship of the mystery. It's only when it revolves around the gospel and worship. That's the only time you can apply this. Eating, drinking, all that's just socializing. But around the gospel, it's called the fellowship of the mystery, the fellowship of the gospel, the fellowship of his suffering, the fellowship. Fellows in the ship, like fellows in a ship, are their life, their conversation, their everything from the time they wake up. I've been in a ship for a long period of time. My father was in a ship for months at a time. There's not a waking day that you don't think about the ship. Your life is that ship. Everybody in that ship has one concern, that ship make it. If the ship goes down, they go down. They work, they serve, they clean, they cook, they do all this in the ship for one another. That's a good illustration of this, the church, this fellowship. If you're not in the ship, you're not a fellow in the ship. And you can't have fellowship with those outside the ship. That makes sense? How can light have fellowship with darkness? They're poles apart, like two things, a magnet. They're repulsive to one another. How can Christ have concord with Babel? Fellowship. Luke 6, look at this. And now, in Mark's gospel, it says, verse 12, he came into, went up into a mountain to pray. He continued all night in prayer. When it was day, he called unto him his disciples. Mark's gospel says, he went up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would. He went up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would.
And they came. They came.
He chose them. He called them. He went up into a mountain. And they came to him. And boy, were they glorified in him to see his glory. All right, now look at it. And he named them. And come down to verse 17. It says, and he came down with them. He came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples.
The word companion comes from company. Company. Who did he keep company with? Who did he visit? Who was his companion?
Those he called. They were his companion. He came down. He was high on a mountain, but he came down and stood with them in the plain. Plain man. A plain brown wrapper, but always anything but plain. Isn't that a blessing? Words. I love words. Love God's word. Fellowship. Fellowship. If any, you have any? Is this not, you fellows in Christ? Is this not your greatest joy? Is this not your life? Is not Christ your life? His people. If it's not, you don't have life. It's often written of this fellowship. Any? Have any? Any fellowship? You know, growth in grace should produce more comfort, more consolation, and fellowship. You should find yourself enjoying God's people more than ever. That's growth in grace. Realizing these are my true companions. And I'm going to be with these people forever. All right, look at the next word in our text. Verse 1 of Philippians 2. If there's any... Now, fellowship of the Spirit. Let me say this, of the Spirit. A lot of talk about the Spirit today in religion. What does the Holy Spirit do? And I'm going to talk more about it in the next message. The Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. Isn't it? He's called the Spirit of Christ. And Christ said he'll take the things of mine. He was talking to his fellows. He was talking to his chosen fellows. Peter, James, Simon, James, John, Bartholomew. He's talking to those fellows. He's talking to other people. He's
talking to them. Private message in John 14, 15, 16. And then a prayer he prayed for his fellows. But he said, he's going to take the things of mine. I'm going to send the comfort. He's going to come to you. And he's going to take the things of mine and show them to you.
Because I'm leaving. And you're going to have sorrow. But the comforter is going to take the things of mine. And you're going to have fellowship around me. That's the Spirit. That's the fellowship of the Spirit. Those who have this in common, this relationship in Christ.
And the word also means same taste, fellowship has the same taste, same likes.
All right, look at the next word. See, if any bowels, you notice, and mercies, that's something in addition to any bowels. Now, this is another biblical term. It's not used in modern day. It's indicative. Very indicative, the words that they remove. I looked at the New King James, and they took it out. The New King James says, what is that? It said, affection. Affection. This goes deeper than that. There's a reason why the Lord used this word, and I think you'll rejoice when you hear it. Bowels. It's significant. Now, when man, here's something to think about. When man gets further and further from the truth, the more he changes and perverts and corrupts God's word, the more people, when they hear words like this, when they hear the original, when they hear the truth as it is, as it was written, they're going to say, what is this strange doctrine? It's going to become so strange. And they're refined. Man has such refined tastes now that we've gotten away from that. In fact, you won't hear the word blood in modern religion. Let's not think about that. No, let's think about it. Because that's what they're talking about and singing about in glory. Most people think these words are strange. I'm going to tell you what it means, okay? This is a wonderful word. There's nothing unclean of itself. Bowels. God created everything. Everything good, everything marvelous, everything needful for His glory. Everything. The basic functions of our body are wonderful. Marvelous. Yes, they are. There's nothing unclean. You ladies, when your children were small, all of these things that they, you know, did, was that unclean to you? Was that despicable to you? Was that, oh, this is awful. Let's not deal with it. No. It's just a part of life. And you're glad it's in working order. All right, this word bowels, man being so sinful. Man is so sinful, he's made something dirty and filthy out of everything. Scripture calls a bed is undefiled. In marriage, outside of marriage, it's an abomination to God. It's fornication. But man has taken something clean and given bad words for it, dirty words, where it's just filth. He's making it filthy. Right? Our Lord was here on the earth as a man. Nothing was unclean or filthy to Him. Yet man is so sinful. There's a great depth of meaning in this word. The word comes from the Hebrew word mayah. And it includes everything. It includes, listen, you're going to get a blessing out of it. The vital organs, it talks about the bowels, the scriptures talk about the loins, down deep within. This is the, if you get, the old cowboys used to talk about, if you gut shot, forget it. Forget it. It's over. I just let you die. The bowels, the loins, this down in here, this is all the seed of life. Okay, everything in here. It has to do with the soft organs. The soft organ, vital organs in the abdomen, the intestines, the stomach includes the uterus, the womb. Oh, what a marvelous creation that is. The belly, the word implies softness as in something very sensitive. The word sympathy comes from this word. All the soft tissue, tenderness, sensitive. Is there any tenderness, any sensitivity, any softness in the vital parts of your being? You know, these organs within, this down in our bellies and our and the bowels and the loins and all that, they produce feelings. Emotional feelings can produce feelings down here, don't they? Always, always. We talk about having hunger pangs. My wife, she says, if I don't get something to eat, I'm going to die. I tell her, no, you're not. But she has this such yearning now deep in her belly. Do you have that for the gospel? If any. Any. There was a time you didn't have any. Deep down within you, you know, shame and guilt, it creates down deep within you a hollow feeling. You ever had a hollow feeling? You can't put it into words, just down in your bowel. Heartbreak, sorrow. Have you ever felt like there's a hole in your heart that'll never be filled? A deep down ache. It can't be put into words. Bowels. If you get scared, these all produce fear down deep. It affects your bowels. This is not unclean. It's a wonderful word. It's far more descriptive than what men think. It's a new man inside that God created. And like these organs down within, down deep within. The child of God, the lover of Christ, the gospel, they yearn for Him. They have a hole in their heart. Their heart is broken by the Lord. They have hunger pangs. They have guilt and shame within them that leaves a hollow, empty feeling down deep in their bowel that only Christ and the gospel can fill. You know what I'm talking about. Any? Joseph. It goes way back to Genesis. Joseph, it says, when he saw his brother Benjamin, says his bowels yearned for him. The Shulamite maiden was asleep and she heard her beloved put his hand in the door. She woke up and was ashamed that she didn't. She's too busy to go answer the door to her beloved. And she says, her bowels move for him. What's wrong with me? Oh, I've lost him. I'm not going to get him back. And she went looking for him. Can anybody tell me where he is? She said, I'm sick of love. Any? You had any of that? Good sign. The word bowels, as I said, includes the uterus and the womb. That's a marvelous thing, and that's where life begins, doesn't it? You ladies have had the privilege, the blessing of experiencing that. Tell me, there was a time when you felt that first little flutter. Huh? You remember that, ladies? I don't remember, because I've never felt it. Thus, these men can't enter in that. But you ladies, that first little time when you felt this, you wondered, am I pregnant? Am I pregnant?
Flutter.
How'd you react? I'll never forget what men did. It moved. Just a little flutter. Any? Does your heart flutter when you hear the gospel? Any of this right now? Feel any? Isn't that a good description of life? New life? Flutter when your heart begins to flutter? It was hard. That's been softened. You've experienced these bowels. And mercy. That's a separate word. And mercies. Oh, don't you love the word mercy? How's that sound to you? Can I talk too much about God's mercies? You know, it's of the Lord's mercies
that we're not concerned. You know, His mercies are new every morning.
You know, His mercy endureth forever. David loved it so much that in one psalm he said it in every single verse. 26 times, I believe it was. His mercy endureth forever. What do you think about it? Any? Have you experienced
any mercies?
Have you felt or experienced the mercy of God? It make you grateful and humble and amazed. Any mercies? Any mercies? And that produces feelings of mercy for your brethren. You have any feelings of mercy for your brethren?
Any?
As I said, there was a time when I didn't care for God's people. I didn't worry about that. I didn't lose any sleep over God's people. It's of the Lord's mercies that you've experienced mercy. If so, so he says, if so, and this actually will be Wednesday night's message, the mind of Christ. Verse 2, fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Paul said, this would fill me with joy and it would fill you with joy. We want to look at it more Wednesday. It would fill you with joy. If you'd be like-minded and one accord. I like the word accord. I like that. We've sang. I love singing with Brother John. Sometimes the Lord really blesses it, doesn't it? And we can enter into the song, and I just love you standing there beside me, and we're singing in harmony. It's a beautiful thing when it harmonizes it. And even those can't be Mandy, bless her heart. She loves to sing, but we start singing, and I'll start singing a harmony with her, and she just loses it. She can't. She doesn't know. You know. But that's all right. But isn't a quartet or a duo or a duet or a trio or a quartet singing in perfect harmony? Is there anything more beautiful? The human voice is the most beautiful instrument on earth. It really is. And for like two people to be singing in harmony, three people, four people. I remember one conference, we had four of us, two of our ladies and me and another singing, Nearer My God to Thee. And oh, bless me so much. We're all singing, Nearer My God to Thee, in perfect harmony. But boy, it's bad if somebody gets out of sorts. Messes everything up. He says, fulfill my joy. Let this mind be of you. One accord, one purpose, one desire, love and accord and harmony and unity and the cause of Christ standing in defense of the gospel. Okay.